Today on Real Radio.
I would rather be asleep near Jesus than to be fully awake like Judas, who's skulking around town, gathering an army of betrayers to attack Christ in the middle of the night.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Luke's New Testament narrative, chapter 22. You know, one sign that an individual is a true follower of Jesus is that he endures the hardships that accompany the life of a believer, and that he depends upon the Almighty to do so, unlike one of the most notorious figures in all history. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a mini-series called You and a Judas.
Don't underestimate the powers of darkness to divide and to destroy. Jesus said, watch out. Judas, though, he doesn't think like that. In Galatians 6, verse 7, it says, do not be deceived. God's not mocked. Don't trick yourself. You're not going to get away with making fun of God. For whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. That's where Judas is at. He was trying to melt the ministry literally for 3.5 years. The Bible tells us that Judas was found with his hand in the money bag. Number three, the difference between you and a Judas is that you've surrendered to Christ. Judas can't. It's not that he doesn't have the ability. He can't. He doesn't want to. But you, on the other hand, Christian, you've surrendered to Christ. Now listen, the word surrender gets a lot of people up in arms. What do you mean? I don't surrender to nothing. Yeah, you do. I choose to be careful to whom or what I surrender to. Okay? I surrender to the Lord, and I have my wife believe that I surrender to her. No, I'm kidding. It's always wiser to surrender to her too. Hey, listen. The Christian has surrendered to Christ. Look at verse 41. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw away, 40 to 50 yards away. And he knelt down. This is Jesus, the Son of God, kneeling down and praying. And he says, verse 42, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Look at verse 43. Instantly, then an angel appeared to him from heaven and strengthened him. I want you to mark this for a moment. Surrendering. What is Jesus doing? Here is God in human flesh, walking among men, going to the cross. Jesus says, Father, if it's your will, remove this cup from me, but not my will, your will be done. Now look, I want you to hear this loud and clear. You guys listening over here? How about over here? Okay, check this out. I'm going to give you two answers. One is prevailing. The other one is a little deeper. So put your thinking caps on. When Jesus said, Father, remove this cup from me, it is true that you can take that verse, and Jesus is saying, if salvation can be done any other way, Father, then let that other way be done. Most scholars will interpret it that way, and I'm not saying it's wrong. I will say it myself. It is accurate. Jesus is saying, Father, take this cup from me. Why do we think that way? Because the Bible teaches us, both in the Psalms and in the New Testament, and for that matter, the whole of the Old Testament, that the Messiah would drink the cup of the wrath of Almighty God in our place, right? The Bible says that all of us are worthy of the judgment of God. That is, when we die, we be judged by God, and there's no mercy, there's no forgiveness, pure judgment based upon his justice. Yikes. But Jesus steps in, and that's why he went to the cross. He took all that at the cross so that when you die, Christian, to be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord, says the Bible. You breathe your last here and you breathe your next there. Boom. Why? Because Jesus suffered at the cross. He paid the price. You, listen to this. Hello, this is awesome. Your consciousness, your spirit, your soul, you will never see the grave. Listen to me. You will never see hell. You will never see darkness. You will never see death the way that the Bible speaks. Does that prevent you from getting hit by a truck? No. Does it prevent you from having a heart attack? No. But that now, that becomes a passageway into the presence of God. Your soul, your thinking, your spirit never dies. The moment that truck blows that intersection and you go, Jesus! the moment you die, you're in the presence of God. You're going, wow! What in the world's going on? This is amazing. Listen, that's not true for the unbeliever. That's not true for those outside of Christ. He's the ticket. He's the key. You're all excited about this. It is the reason why I'm alive. And is your soul right with God? Listen to this. Yes, Jesus paid the price. Number two, think. Didn't Jesus say that when I pray or when I talk to the Father, he hears everything? Jesus said, that's John's gospel. Didn't the Father say that he always listens to the Son and he's well pleased with the Son and this is my Son, obey him, follow him? Yep. Are you telling me then that if Jesus is, Father, if it's possible, remove this cup from me, that Jesus is not getting his prayer answered? Oh no, he's getting his prayer answered. You say, what are you suggesting? I am suggesting, number one, that Jesus did pay the price for all of our sins at the cross. But according to our chapter where we're at right now, he hasn't made it to the cross yet. Are you with me? So here's number two. He is within eyeshot of Golgotha. You know what Golgotha is? Golgotha is the place of the skull. Calvary is another word for Golgotha, Calvary. You're sitting in Calvary Chapel. Calvary, Golgotha is at Mount Moriah. The place of the skull. You're sitting in Skull Chapel. Doesn't that sound great? I'm going to go to Calvary Chapel today. You're what? You're going to Skull Chapel. Hey, matey! Maybe that should be our new logo, huh? A skull. Jesus was crucified on Golgotha, the place of the skull. The face of that mountain looks like a skull, even to this day. And so Jesus, he can see it. From Gethsemane, you can see it. Could it be possible that Jesus, because listen to this, mark your Bibles, Bible students, Mark 14:33, and he took Peter, James, and John with him a little further, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. And then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. And he went a little further and he fell on the ground and he prayed. The word in Greek, sorrowful, even unto death, the word means that Jesus was so filled with sorrow that it could kill him. It could have been fatal to him. We don't even know what that's like, friends. We don't know what it's like to be that sorrowful, that the sorrow could be fatal. That's what the word means. I'm so sorry and sad and moved with emotion that it's killing me. And he wasn't exaggerating. Mark 14:33 tells us. So check this out. I believe Jesus, in light of the context of this chapter, he's being betrayed. Soon his own disciples are going to abandon him. He's going to be all alone. He's surrounded, based upon Psalm 22, by the unbelieving world that will crucify him. And I believe Jesus is saying, Father, if it's possible, remove this cup from me. I believe it's the cup of the fear of him not finishing the mission. I believe that he's thinking, I've been completely abandoned. Remember, he's 100% God and 100% man. He goes to that garden to pray. Well, what do you think he went to pray? I already know why he went to pray. It is burdened on his heart, and he says, oh, Father, if it's possible, remove this cup from me. But not my will, your will be done. And instantly an angel comes and strengthens him. I believe Jesus is saying, Father, I have lived for this moment. Listen, didn't he tell the disciples for over a year now, I will go to Jerusalem, I will be beaten, I will be crucified, but on the third day be resurrected from the dead. Has he not been saying that? You think he's backing away from the cross, that he's scared of the cross? There's no way. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Jesus embraced the cross. In fact, Peter soon will try to rescue him from the cross. And Jesus says, no, 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 Peter, put away your sword. He's got a date on the cross to die for the sins of the world. Oh, no, he's not afraid of the cross. I think he prays with such sorrow and agony, Father, I can see my victory is only an eighth of a mile away. Don't let Judas, don't let these sweet but knuckle-headed disciples mess it up. Don't let Rome mess it up. It's his humanity crying out. But remember, he's totally God. And I believe the Father answered his prayer. I believe the Father always answers the prayers of his Son. And I believe that cup of trembling was removed from him because with each visit Jesus gave his apostles, if you combine the four gospels together, is he not stronger with every return from prayer? And every time he's got that strength that that angel brought him, and then he comes out of that moment ready to meet the betrayal. It's awesome to me. Why? What's the strength? How do I get it? My friend, listen, it's the hardest thing in the world for us to learn. The hardest, and that is surrender to God. We all deal with it. There's no super saints. All of us struggle with that, some to greater depths than others. Those of you who are control freaks, you really struggle with it. You're a Christian, you love Jesus, but you're a control freak. And you're always tempted to say, okay, God, this is how we're going to do it, okay? I already figured it out, so you bless it, and we'll just get this thing going. Let's go. That's a scary world. Surrendering to him. Here's a great picture of surrender for the believer, John 20:26. Now after 8 days, his disciples, this is after the resurrection. After 8 days, his disciples were again inside, listen to this, and Thomas now with them. Jesus came, the doors being locked, stood in the midst of them. That had to freak them out. Did you guys lock the door? Yep. Okay, great. What are we going to do? I don't know. Rome's out to get us. They're trying to find the followers of Jesus. And then all of a sudden, with the doors locked, whoosh, hey guys, how are you? Jesus shows up in the room. And Jesus stood in the midst of them and said, peace to you. Why did he say peace to them? Because they were freaking out. Peace to you. Whoa, boys. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands. And reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believe. He said that to Thomas. Why? Do you remember what Thomas said earlier? Thomas said, the disciples told Thomas, we've seen Jesus risen from the dead. We saw him. Thomas said, I will not believe until I take my finger and poke it right into the hole of his hands. And I take my hand and thrust it into the side where they stuck him with a spear. Not going to believe. So cheer up if you're a doubter today. Thomas says, I want evidence. And so Jesus shows up and he focuses right on Thomas. Tom, come over here. Can you imagine him? He kind of had a feeling the way this was going to go. Jesus pulls up his robe and, all right, just put your finger right through the hole. There you go. Okay, now here. Go ahead. There you go. All righty then. John 20 goes on to tell us that when that happened, Thomas fell on his face and said, my Lord and my God. Hey, that's awesome. That's what a Christian does. You have doubts? That's okay. Pursue God. He will relieve you of your doubts. He's amazing that way. So yeah, I'm sure Jesus is going to show up and have me think of... No, he'll meet you in some other way. Well, this is what a Judas cannot do. A Judas can't do this. He can't surrender because, listen, he is of the spirit of 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. The word perilous means to wear down the believers, kind of like people attacking Prop 8 over and over and over. Get used to it. That's what the word means, to wear it down. Perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of money. Think of Hollywood when I read this. Lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty. That doesn't mean cute, that means arrogant. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. That means they go to church on Sunday. They look like a Judas. What did a Judas look like? He looked like the other guys. You guys, if you saw a picture of the disciples, they're not wearing like robes, cappuccino, tan, white, beige, red. Oh. His robe wasn't red. He didn't have like a tail kept sticking out. He kept putting his tail down. Then his horns stick out of his beanie and he puts it back down. He looked like everybody else. The Bible says, watch out in the last days. Fake believers are going to look like us. He says, from those people, turn away from them. For of this sort are those who creep into households and take captive silly women that are laden with sin. Gullible, the word means. Leads them away with their various lust. Always learning these people are, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Have you ever met experts on the Bible? They were on last night on the History Channel. Amazing. No. Number four, the difference between you and a Judas is that you have recognized the price, but a Judas won't. Verse 44, and being in agony. Wow, can you mark that word agony? It means that his heart, his emotions are ripped open, his gut. Think of the worst feeling you've ever had. I think the worst feeling you ever had is when you lose like a child. You lose someone you love. Think of that. Emotions are scary things because, you know, have you ever been like in the fourth grade and your girlfriend breaks up with you? You know that feeling? It's not the end of the world. Emotionally, it's the end of the world. You can't eat. You ever had that feeling? I remember, like, I think I was in the sixth grade and Sue broke up with me. And it's like, you couldn't eat. And she, you know what she did? She broke up with me the day before Thanksgiving. That really ticked me off. You sick to your stomach? Listen, are the feelings real? Yes. But are they accurate? No. But you can be so grieved. Maybe it is the death of a child or a spouse. Agony. Jesus is in agony. And it says, and he prayed more earnestly. He prayed hard. And then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. He didn't bleed. I know pictures show him bleeding from the side of his temples. He didn't bleed. How do we know? We know this for a fact because the Bible says his sweat became like great drops of blood. His sweat, and this is a medical event that can take place. You can be under such grotesque stress that the sweat takes on, which is extremely rare, but it's happened in life, where the sweat takes on, or you begin to sweat because of the intense emotional pressure, and there's a viscosity that begins to form in the sweat, and it begins to drop, and it has a thickness or a viscosity, much like blood. You and I have probably, I'm sure I have never got close to that condition. It's amazing. A Christian understands that, the price paid by Jesus, but a Judas won't. A Christian understands this. In John 12:27, Jesus says, now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I came to this hour. A Christian understands that, but a Judas doesn't. In Hebrews 6, verse 4, a Judas doesn't get it. For it is impossible to restore to repentance those who were once enlightened, those who have experienced the good things of heaven and shared in the Holy Spirit. Judas enjoyed all that stuff. Who have tasted of the goodness of the Word of God and the power of the age to come, who then turn away from God, it is impossible to bring such people to repentance again because they nail the Son of God to the cross again by rejecting Him and holding Him to public shame. That's Judas. You guys, he's working the deal. He's a snake in the grass, we would say. He's a fox in the hen house. He's working this to his advantage. You guys, this is amazing. Number five, we'll end right here. The difference between you and a Judas. Verse 45, when he rose up from prayer and he had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. The word sorrow is that their hearts were very heavy. They were very, very sad about the events that were seeming to form, and they didn't know what to do. And they fell asleep. In Philippians 1:29, the Bible says, for it is granted to you on behalf of Christ to not only believe in him, but to suffer also for his sake. I would rather suffer with Jesus than to not suffer and miss him. My goodness, my friends, please don't sell out for the moment. That's what Judas did. Don't cave in for the moment. And check this out. Where's Judas? Oh, he's too busy. You and I have suffered with Christ, and we shall suffer with Christ. The true believer will do that. But my friend, listen, a Judas is too busy. Listen, I don't think you've ever heard this in a message at any other time. I've never heard what I'm about to tell you. You would never give the disciples an A for sleeping on the watch, right? Didn't Jesus say to them, watch and pray? Okay, don't you think they intended to watch and pray? Come on, cut them some slack. I believe that they're, okay, Jesus, we got you covered. They're praying. And then all you need is one guy to, oh man. And you pray. And you're praying. And you fall asleep. My friend, where are these 11? They're with Jesus. But they're sleeping. Just like us. I would rather be asleep near Jesus than to be fully awake like Judas, who's skulking around town, gathering an army of betrayers to attack Christ in the middle of the night. Evil is always doing its stuff in the middle of the night, making its schemes, making its plans. Judas was too busy. A Judas, we know from Matthew 26:14, says that then one of the 12, how tragic is that? One of the 12. You know, it's my opinion. Can't prove it. I think Judas is the most famous man in hell right now. Are you one of the, you're one of the 12. In fact, you're the one out of the 12. Called Judas Iscariot. He went to the chief priest and said, what are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you? You hear that thinking? What am I going to get out of this? How could I milk this ministry deal? And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. So from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. Wow. That's powerful stuff. You guys, I would rather be asleep with Jesus than living a life of deception away from him.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called You and a Judas. It's actually a mini-series taken from part of Luke's New Testament narrative, chapter 22. Part of our teacher's verse-by-verse through this eyewitness account, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, of course, this means that we have just two more chapters to go in studying this New Testament narrative. If you've just recently made Real Radio part of your day, you may be interested in what we're currently making available. This entire series through Luke on two MP3 CDs for a cost of $30. It's comprised of 141 complete messages by Pastor Jack. And really, to learn the importance of internalizing this first century historical narrative, go to realradioactive.org and click where it says simply, The Gospel of Luke. realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. If you'd like to do things the traditional way, here's our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.